doing? You guys doing good? Sweet. Can you hear me? Is my mic on? It's not coming through. It's all right there. It's kind of getting there. Almost. It's. Yeah. No. That's where it normally is. Any closer, you get all the time. Hey. So we just finished a series about reclaiming the garden, and so in that we're going to do some things. I know this is hard for folks, but this is one of those deals where it's like, I don't like to just get up here and hear my voice. You guys might think that, but Sasha can testify that I use all my words right here throughout the rest of the week. and so when I deliver a message, it's because I really want to see our church get active and involved in having that affect their life. And so... so I wanted to provide some opportunities for you to be able to do that. So coming up, like say in announcements, you'll hear some more about it, but coming up this next week, we're going to do a prayer walk. And part of the prayer walk is we're going to have some door hangers to be able to hang on some of the folks as we walk by, inviting them to Christmas service here on Christmas Eve morning. And so that's part of it. The other thing is sometimes it's hard when you talk to somebody and invite them to church, because it's like, well, you know, it's like it's that building down there on the road somewhere if you go down Brooks. And so what we did is we have made some business cards that actually say Explore Church at 10. It gives a little code on there that they can go to the website, and it gives the address, and it gives the website, all that good information. So I am going to, I got a bunch of these. There will be more out by the information booth, but I'm going to hand Graham these, and I'm going to hand over here to Philip. Sorry, I missed you. Just like that. Just passed you. So, and go ahead and take how many you want and pass them on. If you don't want one because you never use a business card or you don't use wallets, that's totally cool. You don't have to take one. Please don't take one out of guilt. But if you want to have a few to be able to hand out to folks, just another opportunity, right? How are you guys doing? Everybody going to do good? Good, good. I can't quite see the faces out there, so I don't know if you're smiling or like, oh, what's he talking about now? Sheesh. So let's go to Lord in prayer, and we're going to start this new series. Father God, we just come before you right now. We thank you for the way that you work and act in our lives. Lord, we thank you that you are always at work. That you are creating in us a new person. That, Father God, that you are reaching out to others, that you are expressing your love in various ways throughout this world. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us to be able to mirror that, to image that love to other people. That you would help us to be able to present the gospel in truth and in clarity. Father God, we ask, as we dig into this series, as we look at this season, that, Lord, that you would mark in us and part of our character as people of peace, as people that are centered, that are not given to worry and stress, that, Father, that we can have a hope that is secure and is solid, and that, Father, that we would not be overwhelmed by the waves, that we would not be overwhelmed by the circumstances, that, Father, that we would recognize that if you are for us, who can be against us? And so, Father God, we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we're going to do a mini-series before Christmas shows up on peace, because it just fits, right? I mean, we normally do the candles, and the candles are really awesome, but sometimes I feel like we get trapped into, hey, we got to kind of do the same messages over and over. And are you guys working on Vern's connection? Yeah, okay. So they're working on it, Vern. Peace is the one that popped out to me this year. Because I think so often we live in a world right now, if you think about it, there is so much going on globally where there's not a lot of peace. You know, things are escalating over in Israel. It's not decreasing. And the situation is horrible. it's there's atrocities on every side, and it's not honoring to God, and it didn't start there. There has always been a lack of peace in that region of the world, you know. But that's not the only place that our world is at war. You know, if you think about Russia and Ukraine and everything that's happening there, it's horrible. And the truth of it is we think about world peace and we realize that we are not there yet. And it's kind of surprising because I think out of all the generations, this is a generation that is becoming more global, is more aware of people internationally. And you'd think there would be a change in policy. You'd think there'd be a change in the way that we act in our diplomacy. But I think the truth of the matter is we are still sinners. And so there are still struggles. That's around the world. When we begin to think about peace in ourselves, I think we begin to think about different matters. We wrestle in ourselves with our future. We wrestle in ourselves with our circumstances. We seem to find ourselves in areas all the time where we are dealing either with finances or relationships or somewhere in our life where there is a lack of peace. We are constantly struggling and fighting to find this area where we don't feel like we're at tension, where we can sleep well at night, and where we can live a life of hope and joy. And the reality is when we don't have peace, we don't have hope. We don't have joy. It's diminished. We really struggle in those areas. And so peace is something that is not only fits the season, but peace, if you think about it, I think every one of us long for a sense of peace. We want that centeredness. So I'm going to read some verses here. Luke chapter 2. Starting in verse 8, it is the Christmas season, so here it is. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." That's the message that the angels were bringing. Is here it comes. The Messiah has arrived. This is a message that's going to cause great joy. Which is kind of crazy when you think about that wording. Here is a message that's going to cause great joy. How many times have you ever heard news where all of a sudden it's like, wow, that's awesome. You know, be able to hear something where it's like, it changes your perspective and it changes your hope and it changes everything. There's not too many times that happens in our life, I don't think. There's a few. I had one not too long ago when my daughter called and said, "I'm having a baby." I was like, "Woohoo! Yeah! Finally, this is awesome." You know, a hope. There's something. It's something that is exciting and new. There's a future that is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. That's coming. That is so exciting. Something about hope and a future that changes our perspective, raises our spirits. And that's what the angel was proclaiming. The message of the Messiah, the Savior, is going to bring great joy in the sense that it should change the way that we think and act. It should bring a hope and a future to us. And in the midst of this, as they go through it, they talk about peace. Peace. I want to read to you Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9 is talking about the Messiah coming. Verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. The Messiah who brings peace to those whose God's favor rests on them, the Prince of Peace. The reality is, as you think about it, as you go through Scripture time after time after time, Jesus is the center of peace. He does bring up the fact that, hey, there's going to be war. Because if you believe in me and you trust in me, it's going to bring a rip in your life. That there's others that are going to stand up and say, you're silly, you're a loser, you're foolish. What in the world are you doing? You're just a Jesus freak now. And the world does not like when things are shown to them. Darkness does not like when light shines upon it. Things that are evil want to hide in the darkness. And when your life is exposed and your life becomes a light, when you begin to change, there are going to be others that are against that. And there is going to be a rift, and there's going to be struggle, and there is a spiritual warfare and a spiritual battle that's going on around us. But yet, somehow, in the middle of all that, there is this center place of peace. It's like being in the middle of the storm, the eye of the hurricane. To realize that all around you, because of the way the world operates, the way that things happen in this life, there is chaos. But in the middle of being in the center of who God has created you and who He is, and that you are His and that your identity comes from Him, there is a place of being able to have peace. Peace that changes our life tremendously. But there's peace, to be honest, I think comes in stages. I think there is different sides of peace that we need to be able to grasp. And what we're going to talk about this week is the foundation of it. The thing that we need to grasp in order to build the rest of our life upon. Because without a foundation, we can grasp little bits and pieces here and little how-tos there and little things that might help us through a common situation that we tend to stress about. And those things are good, but without a center, without a foundation to build upon, often our life will not rest upon that peace. So here, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. So here's the center of it. The reality is we were created for a purpose, and that purpose was to glorify God. And in the midst of being able to glorify God, God created you in a way that you would be able to have certain gifts and certain abilities that would be able to fit in the midst of the way that he wanted to have the universe work, that would bring him glory in an incredible way, and that you would find satisfaction in life, that you would be able to walk in the midst of this. But because of our sin nature, we chase after our own desires. And our own desires, because of our sin nature, are often destructive. Our sin natures are often very selfish. And even when we do selfish things, we tend to hurt other people. And the reality is sin is sin. Sin always kills and destroys. And you may indulge in something that's small and say, it's not a big deal, I'm saved, it's whatever. But the reality is when you deal with sin, when you allow something to sneak into your life, it will destroy. It is like a cancer. It will slowly eat at you, and it will slowly kill you in different ways. Your relationships, your peace, your hope. So it's important that we center ourselves in what God has for us. And part of the reality of this is realizing from the very beginning, there is a peace when we finally surrender to who God is and what Christ has done for us on the cross. Because without that, the scripture says that we are enemies. It's not just being lost. It's not just being a sinner. The reality is the scripture literally says that we are enemies of God because of our behavior. Which is a crazy thing. When you're enemies, obviously you're not at peace. See, we can talk about peace in these different areas, and I think it's super important that we begin to dig in and realize there is peace with God, there is peace with man, there's peace with ourself, there's peace with our circumstances, there is peace at being in the center of His will and understanding our future. There's different areas of peace that we need to be able to have in our life and that we need to strive for. But it all starts with the foundation and the core of being able to go, hey, am I at peace with God, my Creator? Because if I'm not at peace with God, my Creator, the truth of the matter is then I'm at war with Him. I don't know if you guys know this, but if you're at war with God, you ain't going to win. I mean, that's just kind of a silly battle. So being able to come back and go, okay, at one time I was at war, but if I can come to a place of recognizing what Christ has done for me, that He's died on the cross, that if I can really receive that and allow Him to come into my life as Lord and Savior, in other words, that He's redeemed me, but He's also in charge of me. The crazy part about it is we go from enemies to children. We go from the place where we're at war with God to a place that if God's on your side, who can be against you? It is one side or the other. There is no middle ground in the middle of this. There's not, I'm just going to play it safe. I can, you know, I can just kind of be a friend to God, and but still do my thing. It is, you either surrender to what He's done for you and what He's got for you, or you live at war with it. Being able to find this center of peace is critical. Because when you can finally become a place of peace with God, realizing that He has the best for you, that He has a plan for you, that when you walk in His will, you're no longer fighting against the future, you're no longer fighting against your circumstances, all of a sudden there is a hope that goes way beyond what you experience now. A hope that actually transforms the way we think, the way that we walk, our attitudes, the way we treat people. That hope transforms our own hearts, centers us, and gives us a place of peace. He created us in this to be new, to go from the old dead to being captivated by our own desires that we can't overcome, and frustrated that there are sins in our life that are hurting other people and we don't want them, but yet for some stupid reason we keep giving into them, to the power of being able to stand and go, no, I am created new. I think one of the ways that many Christians often struggle in their peace is they stop believing that they've been created new. They still hold on to some of the sins from the past and says, but you don't realize what I've done in the past. It doesn't matter because that person's dead. See, it doesn't matter because the reality is He sees you fresh through Christ's blood. So all the things that have happened in the past, all the things that you've done in the past, all the pain that you've caused in the past, He is willing to wipe it all clean because He knows our struggle. Christ came and became flesh, and in the midst of being flesh, we just talked about this in Bible study this last week, and becoming flesh, He knows our pains, He knows our temptations, He emphasized with, is that the word? You get that one down, write that one down in there. Yeah, a man who is perfect in everything he says is, you know, yeah, I'm not quite there. So there's the reality of it. I may not be perfect, but yet at the same time, God is making me perfect. He is changing every part of me. And I live in this new life. But this is what's really cool about it. this new life. Centered and given power by the Holy Spirit. It's God at work in me. It's not me working out myself. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, the evil desires that made us enemies with God, the things that destroy us. So it says, walk by the Spirit. If you skip on down to verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peace. See, the reality is when we're in the Spirit, when we walk in the Spirit, and what walking in the Spirit is simply going, okay, God, you are in control. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my will to you. When I come up against something where I'm fighting temptation, when I come against something that I begin to worry and stress about, I am not walking in the Spirit. I'm taking control. And we as humans, we have this tendency to want to be in control. We do it all the time. We organize our life. We direct things. We constantly, even if you're not the boss, there is a part of your life that you are doing everything to be in control. Because being out of control feels like total chaos. And being out of control means that there is no peace. That's what we think. Here's the crazy thing, is you're not in control. But when you can surrender to God's control, when you can surrender to what God wants for you, you begin to realize He is in control and He does have it and He can bring peace. If we don't hold on to what God has for us, to walk in the Spirit means that there should be peace in our life. There should be a center of being able to realize that part of what peace is faith. See, when we surrender and realize that God is in control, and we look at the scriptures and it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Or who can separate us from the love of God? That we have a future far beyond this. Where Jesus said to Pilate, you have no authority over me other than what God has given you. And so I surrender to God. See, to be able to look at life and be able to realize He's the one that establishes things. He's the one that puts things together. And in the midst of it, yeah, there's going to be hard times. But He can give you peace in the middle of it because He has us totally and completely. He has not lost control. Even when we look around and we don't understand that the waves are roaring around us and our circumstances are like, this is out of control. No, it's still in His control. It's still in His control. I want you to look over here at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. That's what made us enemies of God. And enemies means lack of peace. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. To have your mind set on it. So often, the battle resides in our mind. Being able to surrender our will to God and to what God desires for us. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Peace is all the way through the Scripture. There are so many verses about peace. It's interesting how often we want to pick a verse in Scripture that's kind of obscure. It's like maybe mentioned once or twice, and we can let's look at this thing and try to understand it. And yet we can grab Scripture that repeats itself over and over and over and over and over, and yet for some reason we know it, but yet we don't grasp it. And the Scripture about peace is crazy. Those that are believers in Christ should live in peace. Those that are walking in the Spirit should live in peace. Those that are in a place of faith should have peace reign in their life. Matter of fact, I would say that spiritual maturity, if you can look at somebody and they have peace in their life, that is a place where their spiritual maturity and faith has grown. It's an evidence of it. When somebody is at war, when somebody is frustrated, when somebody is constantly looking for drama in their life, sometimes we go through hard circumstances. Sometimes we've been raised in hard circumstances. And there's this warped thing inside of us. I don't understand it, but it seems to happen over and over again that when we've been in enough trauma, we don't know how to survive without trauma. We actually go out and create it. We actually go out and seek it out. Like we want there to be conflict. Because that's where we know how to operate. We want to be concerned and worry about things because that's where we know how to operate and how we need or how we feel like. I don't know what it is that we feel. But it's not what God desires for us. The scripture goes through time after time after time that we are supposed to have a life of peace. The whole reality of the gospel is that peace has come into our life. That we can be able to hold on to what it is that God is doing and rest in His peace. To walk in the Spirit and allow His peace to shine in our life. To be able to have peace. This is really the first step. This is really the beginning of establishing peace throughout the rest of your life, is to have peace with God. That's the foundation. I say we want to look at all these other little things, and we will talk about some of that stuff as we go through this next couple weeks. But it starts with God, because if you can rest and build your faith that God's got it, you're okay. And even if you're struggling, even if what's happened is horrific, and believe me, horrific things happen, things that have happened to you guys that should not have happened. It's horrible. I'm not making light of that. Those things happen. But somehow or another, to rest in the fact that God still got it. He's still there. He still loves you. He's still holding firm to you. Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Some of us need to just find rest. To be able to come to a place and go, all right, the reason why I'm wore out, the reason why I'm struggling, the reason why I'm doing all this stuff is because I'm carrying the burden. I'm carrying the burden. God's got it. There are certain things that He will give us. He says His yoke, which means there are certain things for us to carry. But make sure that God gave them to you and that you didn't pick them up. That you didn't come along and say, oh, I need to worry about that because that would be a good thing to worry about. You know? I think we do that. We sabotage ourselves. Matter of fact, putting our trust in God is huge. John chapter 16. Jesus is talking to His disciples. I want you to think about what's happening right here. Verse 31. "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. This is the night before He's betrayed. "The time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each of you, each to your own homes. You will leave me alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me." He's talking about the truth. And all you guys are going to run. This is not going to be a great day for you. Verse 33. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, but take heart. I have overcome the world. God often shares things with us that are coming because it's going to be hard to get through. To be able to rest in Him, to find peace in Him, to be able to go, no, this doesn't take God by surprise. Everything that's happening over in Israel, everything that's happening in the Ukraine, doesn't take God by surprise. He's got it. It's okay. When we begin to take on things that are beyond our control, beyond the things that we can handle, we're going to be overwhelmed. To be able to center ourselves and come back to the place and go, wait a minute, this is what God's got for me. He's the one that says, if I seek first His kingdom, He'll take care of all the rest. If I put my priorities first in Him and knowing His love and His will in my life, He's the one that'll take care of all the rest. If I truly hold on to the fact that He is God, and He is in control, then why am I worried about it? He's either got it or He doesn't. He's either the one who loves us or He doesn't. He's not a liar. I love this. Sasha says this all the time to the kids. She always stops them and says, you realize that you survived 100% of everything you've gone through so far, right? You're still here. I mean, sometimes we got to remind ourselves of that. It's funny because we're not supposed to look back on our life and go, oh man, the good old days. But we are supposed to look back on our life and go, look at what God's done. He's always taken care of me. He's always provided. He's always worked it out. He's so far, where I'm standing right now, He's taken me through it all. Were there some dark moments? Yes. But what's really crazy about it is when I think about those dark moments, in the middle of it, I felt alone, but when I look back, I realize I was not alone. I was not alone. I can see how He worked it all out and how He brought it to a different place and how He's still working those things out. And when I think about who He is and His goodness, the only time that I can look back into my own life and go, well, that was a disaster, is when I look back and go, yeah, I made that happen. I took control, and I did, and I stepped up. I said, I jumped in. I caused the argument. I caused whatever. And I wasn't walking in the Spirit. I was walking in my flesh, trying to satisfy my desires. Sometimes my desire is to defend myself. Sometimes my desire is to prove a point. Sometimes my desire is that I'm going to succeed. Sometimes because I didn't think God was going to do this, so I had to make it happen. I mean, in all reality, I wouldn't look at my life and say, I literally had that thought. But the truth of the matter is downside, inside me, there's a place where I either trust God that He has it or I don't. So I may not have had that literal thought, but my actions proved that I did, because I had to take control. Being able to rest in Him. He's the one that brings us peace. He's the one that helps us through it. Romans chapter 15 is a great verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about these verses. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. You guys want some joy this year? Yeah, okay. May the God of hope. You guys want some hope? All right, we have a hope. We have a future. We are not alone. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. Yes. And peace. As you trust in Him. That is my work.
That is my responsibility. Am I trusting Him? If I'm lacking in my joy, if I'm lacking in my hope, come back and go, am I trusting in Him? Because He hasn't quit. He hasn't changed. It rests in the fact if I am able to come back and go, wait a minute, I'm going to a black place. I'm going to a place of chaos. Hold on. Am I trusting in Him? If I'm trusting in Him, I will walk in the Spirit. I'll walk in love, patience. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father God, I just come before You right now. I thank You that You have redeemed us. I thank You that You have offered to us a redemption through Your Son. Lord, there are those here that are still at war with You. They haven't surrendered. They know the truth, but they have not made the statement that You are their God. And Father, I ask that You would help them to raise the white flag, to finally surrender to You, to be able to come into a place of finding hope and joy and peace. Father God, help us, Your children, those that live in a new life, to actually claim that life, to actually live in a place where we no longer allow the accuser to badmouth us about our past, but to be able to hold on through the power of Your Spirit, to be able to trust and rest in everything. That, Father God, that You would build this foundation underneath us that we can build our life upon, that others would see our hope, and that we'd be able to give a reason for it, because our hope comes from You and from You alone. Lord, we realize that we will not have peace in our relationships, we will not have peace in our circumstances, we will not have peace over these other things unless we actually have faith in what You have already done for us and that You got it. So, Father God, we just come before You now. We thank You for this season of bringing us back to a place of essentials. Back to a place where we realize Your gospel is a gospel that will bring incredible joy and peace to those who are there. So we give it to You in Jesus' name.